Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Degrees and sunny in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. I hope it's as beautiful wherever you may be, all over the world. But just so you know, the weather is going to be very redundant here in Phoenix all week. 85 and sunny, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What else can I say? All right, gang. Welcome to the show. We have got a great show on tap for you guys today. So much stuff we got to come out running. I mean, right out of Jump Street, we got to go. We don't have time to mess around. So we got to welcome in the fabulous Natasha in the house.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. It is beautiful outside. Gorgeous. I love it.
And, of course, the magic man making everything happen. What's up?
Definitely using the air conditioner, sir.
No
springtime or whatnot. It's definitely warm out here.
Okay. I think we had to turn the air conditioning on in the studio today, but you know what? That's just fine. 85 and sunny, 5 degrees above the Newton line. We are chilling. And, of course, you can tell in the background, we're listening to the fabulous Chaka Khan, our musical guest host today on the show. You know what? I have long said that Chaka Khan had one of the most powerful voices in the world of pop soul music. I've also said that Chaka Khan could have been one of the greatest jazz singers of our time had she so chosen to do so. And hopefully today you're going to see where I'm going to show you the range of her voice and how she's learned to utilize it over the years, because she's got a couple riffs on a couple songs here on this CD, which is called CK for Chaka Khan. I think this came out sometime in the mid to late 80s. Fabulous, must be in your collection. This girl can bring it. Check it out. Yeah. Singer, songwriter, you'll never guess her real name. Wow. Yvette Marie Stevens, born 1953 in Chicago, Illinois. Yes.
Chaka Khan sounds cooler.
Yeah, Chaka Khan sounds pretty cool. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people didn't know. You know why she changed that? She rejected for a while, I guess, mainstream America. I guess it was in, it was right after high school, or I think she dropped out. She joined the Black Panther Party, and that's when she changed her name. I don't even remember the whole name, but it was something like Chaka Adune Adufe Karifi, and it became Chaka Khan. And she dropped out of high school and became active in the Black Power movement. And she's also famous for that huge fro that she would wear and her powerful voice. The fabulous Chaka Khan, you know, as our musical guest host today, glad to have her. I guess pretty much self-taught. Her sister, she started a group with her sister called the Crystalettes back in the early 70s with her and her sister, Yvonne. And then I guess it was only in the early 70s that she joined a band, an R&B band, basically a sort of a soul R&B band called Rufus. And she was so outstanding that they quickly changed the name to Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Well, that didn't last very long till it became Rufus and Chaka Khan. Then Chaka Khan and Rufus.
Yeah.
And then just Chaka Khan. But she made a lot of great work during those years with Rufus. A lot of classic sounds that are being played by a lot of different bands today. That's our musical guest host. Very impressive. And in fact, she made her first song, her first hit as a solo artist was in 1978 when she released Chaka, where she had the hit song I'm Every Woman, which was a real big hit. That was her big first solo hit. So anyway, Sweet Thing was a big hit with Rufus and Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody, Rags to Rufus, which was a big hit back in 74, which I have. It's just a smash commercially and critically, a big, big hit. Stevie Wonder did a song off that, Tell Me Something Good. You may remember that.
Oh, I know that song.
Sold more than a million copies. Rufus and Chaka Khan, really big. And our musical guest host, Chaka Khan. I think just an amazing voice. I think the second cut on this Magic Man, the second cut on that is, what's that entitled?
Soul Talking.
Yeah, Soul Talking. In Soul Talking, she does a couple riffs in there that is just amazing. Why don't you turn that down in the background so we can check that out a little bit, a little Soul Talking. Chaka Khan. Okay. There we go. All right. Back in the early 80s, she also worked a lot. She sort of collaborated with Prince. You know, I feel for you, feel for you, feel for you. You know, This Is the Night, Through the Fire, all things that she did working with, you know, Prince. So a phenomenal career. She did a lot of stuff with Quincy Jones, Georgia Benson. Just an amazing artist, still expanding her horizons. I remember seeing her on public television as they featured the music of the Temptation, or actually Motown, and they were using current artists to sing those songs. And Chaka Khan had a chance to do a couple of songs that was made famous with Motown, and of course she took the opportunity to freelance a little bit. Just blew my mind. It was just amazing, and really made me clearly aware of her abilities as a jazz singer. So, and I think as she grows and continue to expand her, we may see her exclusively as a jazz singer. I'm not going to predict it, but I wouldn't be shocked. So we're going to let that play in the background while I tell you what's up for today's show. This is Chaka Khan and Soul Talking. All right? Okay, as I said, our musical guest host, Chaka Khan. Our early segment today, we're going to talk about prosperity. We're going to talk about, you know, the effects of money in our lives, prosperity, how to get it, how to keep it. And our main topic going out for my former guest host on the Power Hour on TV, who I was just chatting with this week, JC, John Cannon. He says, Mac Daddy. Actually, the story behind that story is I am putting up on our website, macnewton.com, we're going to start slowly, but we're going to get up all of the TV versions of a Mac Newton's Power Hour on Cox 9. So you guys will be able to see those early shows with John Cannon and myself. Natasha, you got a chance to see a little bit of it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that, huh?
Oh, I loved it. It was nice.
It was kind of cool, wasn't it?
It was nice.
All right, you know, here she is kind of scatting a little bit. Check it out, gang. Chaka Khan. I want you to check out how she does this little trumpet imitation now. Check it out. Wow. Does that not take you right back to Ella Fitzgerald, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't heard much like that before.
I tell you, just Ella Fitzgerald. Kind of cool, huh? Impressive.
It is impressive.
Very impressive. Okay, we'll let that play on out of there while we're continuing to bring you up to speed here. And then, of course, our main topic on quantum change, because JC said, I asked him, I said, do you have any favorite shows we might get on the air from the Power Hour on Cox 9? And he says, hey, well, you know, a lot of them are my favorites, but if you want to bring one out on quantum change, I will certainly do it. So I figured, why not do something on that today on our radio Power Hour? But of course, as we always do around this time, we're going to give our shout outs. Okay, bam. Right out to Andy out in Spain. Al down in South FLA, Alfredo in Mexico. We got some others from Colombia this week. The name didn't get there. Awarded companies from all over the world. Kurt out over in England, in the UK. Of course, Veronica G, very loyal listener in the Philippines and friend of the show. Larry and Kimmy right here in the Valley. Peter and the Bevzilla, really loyal to the Power Hour, even when it was on TV. DZ working out with the Mac Daddy online up in Michigan. Barry, Jeff, and all the boys in Chicago, TKD kicking. And of course, my friend Gwen Hall in Texas and my extended family up in Denver, Colorado. That would be Nick. You know, Nick and Tom and Heather and everyone else up in Denver. And hopefully we'll be seeing you very, very soon. Wow. And our main update, the website's a blast. If you haven't checked it out, you are missing out. The website is a blast. The videos are online. People are using them, working out, having me pick out their workouts, sending me emails. It's really rolling. If you're interested in getting on shape, go online, macnewton.com. It'll be right there on the front page. Let me check it out here, right here. Just click over there, and right there, Workout in Max Gym, click on. We've added just so many new videos to the video vault. That's part of our update today. Updating you, you can go online and see me work with the Chicago Cubs. You can see me work out with Charles Barkley, and you can see me work out with Rav Sampson back in my gym. Because, you know, in the gym I'm talking about, hey, work out with me in my gym with these athletes. So I decided to put it on in my vault. You can see that. You can see the fabulous Natasha working out on YouTube in one of our featured commercials. You can see me cook on Channel 3, a 3-2 eating plan. See me cook on a show with Marty Hames. Also, you can watch as I'm working out a local new sports personality who wanted to get a first-hand view of what it was like to work out with Mac Daddy. All online. Come on, man. Go on YouTube. We've got so many things there, Magic Man, that they changed their rules for us on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They said that, you know, you can only put up a piece that was like 10 minutes long.
Oh.
Yeah. But because we've got so much up, I think we got like 14, 15 pieces up there, maybe more.
Cut into segments or something.
Right.
Like that.
And okay. So now they say we can put up as long as an hour.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
I tell you.
We
haven't done that yet. But you know what? Not only can you, you know, listen to the Power Hour online, you can go there, just go to macnewton.com, click on the icon of the microphone, and you can listen live, you know, right now with us, or as soon as we finish the show, bam, it's going to go up in the archives, and we'll have some show archived there all the time. We're not going to right now have it matching week for week, but there'll always be a show you can watch. Like, I think the one that's up there right now is like 2 weeks old, and maybe we'll put up a new one there, you know, so you can watch it and just see what we look like when we do the show. Did you guys know that Natasha makes jewelry? I think I told you. Did we mention that on there?
I've seen some of it. It's really nice.
Yeah, she's got it here on display, and she's wearing some of her jewelry today. You want to show them that? Let them see that. You know, you got to see her jewelry, you know. She makes, you know, with semi-precious stones. Tell them some of the stuff you make there, Natasha.
This is turquoise.
Yeah.
Turquoise and Swarovski crystal between to make it a little bit to make it a little bit sparkly.
Yeah, okay. What are the kind of stones do you use?
I love natural stones. Mm-hmm. So most of my stones are, I would say, aquamarine, amethyst, citrine. There's lots of green stones, green aventurine, green jasper.
And each piece is a one of a kind, kind of a piece.
I only make one. I don't like to do two on a row.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it's boring. And second, I like somebody who's going to be owner of my pieces to have one of a kind, okay, and nobody else would have it.
You know what we might do? What I think would be a great idea? I think I'd like to put some pictures of this online, you know, like on the Power Hour. Put some pictures of, you know, and if people are interested, they can just, you know, pick up a piece of this artwork, you know, that they can wear. That would be kind of cool. Very, very nice. Yeah, that'll be great. Okay. All right, gang, moving right on. It is now, let's see what the time on the wall is. It says, it is now exactly 15 minutes past the hour. A beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 85 degrees right now. And looking up at the sky, there's not a cloud out. Did you see a cloud out there, Natasha, anywhere?
No clouds.
Just blue skies wall to wall. As the truckers will say, wall to wall and treetop tall. Nothing but blue skies and green lights awaiting you on that blacktop. Yeah, okay. If you listen to us in your truck, take your time. Be careful. You know, nowadays you can be online in the car now, you know. You can be online anywhere. So thinking that people can only be listening to us on their computers is no longer true. They can be listening to us on their iPhones, on their car radios. They can be listening to us wherever they may be. So if you are, welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. We're just talking to Natasha about all the stuff she's involved in. And of course, the Magic Man. His real name is Zach Geist, but you know, we call him the Magic Man, and because he's such a big fan of those Snuggies, the blankets with the arms in them, that we all wish we had invented, that we all thought of at some point in time, is nothing but a blanket with some arms. Jeez, they've only sold about 195 million trillion of those things.
Backwards so, robe.
Exactly. So, and of course, you do have one or two.
Just one.
And is that the pink one, or which one was that? There, do you guess?
It's woodland camouflage. Woodland. No, I'm just kidding. It's a zebra.
It's a zebra. Is the pink white and black zebra?
White and black white zebra. And black zebra. The very, okay. Macho.
It's the snuggler. Snuggy is the snuggy.
Official name.
Bear thing, magic there. Okay. All right, gang. You know, I got something that was very sad and disturbing. As a message on my Facebook this week, it was very disturbing, actually. There was a restaurant, I think it's closed now, but it was about a mile and a half from here as we sit in, I say downtown, we're kind of nearer downtown than central Phoenix. It was on 44th and Thomas. The restaurant, when it was open, I think it was called Heart Attack Cafe. I mean, literally, that was the name of the restaurant. And they had waitresses that wore a very abbreviated, very short nurse's uniform with nurse's caps. And the whole deal was, eat as much fat and cheese and potatoes and ketchup as you could get. I mean, they were offering three and, triple-decker cheeseburgers. Did you know anything about it? Did you hear anything about that?
I think they called it like a triple-bypass burger.
Triple-bypass burger. So you heard about
the,
that, yeah.
The grill. Well, yeah, it was a heart attack grill.
Yeah, heart attack grill. And it was like they had the triple-bypass, the quadruple-bypass, the double-bypass.
No veggie burgers.
No. And it was, and then it had a spokesperson that appeared with them on the air when they did their commercials, or at least appeared at the restaurant. I'm not sure the depth of his involvement, but I did remember seeing him a couple of times. And one of my friends and former clients, Carrie, sent me the news report from the Washington Post that the guy's named Blair River, 575 pound, the spokesman for Heart Attack Grill, in Phoenix, died at 29 years of age. Now, I think this is very, very sad. I think it's very, very sad that, this guy is 29 years of age, or he was, and with his whole life ahead of him, and now he's gone. You might say, well, gee whiz, it's 575 pounds. You know what? I've worked with people 575 pounds before, and heavier. And you know what? I'm not sure if there were additional medical circumstances as far as he's concerned, or medical conditions that he was dealing with. But you know what? Frequently, those are conditions with a change of attitude and lifestyle that can be reversed completely. Completely reversed to live a healthy lifestyle. He's 29, for goodness sakes. Like I said, I don't know if there were other medical issues that contributed to this weight. But this is not a lifestyle to be, not only not to be emulated, but it's not one to be made light of, which I think was really being done with his involvement. And of course, he did it voluntarily, but still, it's just sad. And I remember one of the most, I think the shows that JC and I did that received the most feedback is when at a Suns game, there was a former Suns player. Gosh, you may remember. You're a sports fan. He was Oliver Miller. You remember? Just coming out of your head. I think I mentioned this before.
No, I just know that he was a hefty guy.
Oliver Miller fought with his weight for years. He had been a former Suns player. He was traded, came back to town. Well, the Suns gorilla came out in a big suit, and all the fans were laughing. And on the show, John asked me about what I thought of it. And he admitted he had laughed. I said, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was pathetic on the part of every person who would make fun of a person's struggle to that degree. You have no idea, unless you've walked in his shoes, at the pain that's associated with living life that way, that of the struggles that he'd endured. You just can't assume that this person is a slacker. You can't assume that this person is living like this because they're lazy or because they simply don't want to do anything. There may be lots of conditions that contribute to it. Cultural issues, the fact that they, how they were raised. And you know what? Dealing with that is not easy. I know I've worked with a lot of people, and I've worked with my own issues that don't necessarily involve weight, but have been just as difficult to deal with. And John sat there, and I think it was the first time he realized that I would say anything on radio, but I was going to be truthful. And he says, you know what, Mac, you really opened my eyes that day. When you, even though you knew I was one of the ones that laughed, you didn't back away from that. You said you thought it was pathetic. You thought it was ridiculous that everyone who laughs should be ashamed of themselves, that they would publicly humiliate someone who had struggled with a problem like that. And when you look at this situation, that's why I wrote back, and I rarely ever answer anything on Facebook. I never make comments. I make my post, I leave it. But when Carrie sent me this, I answered it because I want everyone to know my opinion. I said, this is sad, very, very sad. 29 years of age, and with his whole life ahead of him, and he's now gone. I don't know if there were medical issues that contributed to his weight, but this is not a lifestyle to emulate or to make light of. If you or someone you know is dealing with similar conditions, it may require a complete lifestyle change, but you have to know it can be reversed in most cases. All it takes is for you to think positively about yourself. Want to be healthy with all your heart. Be willing to make changes that are hard, and then think positively about yourself and believe in your ability to change. Mental discipline here is the key determinant. You know what? I went on to say, maybe Blair can be a symbol of hope for others that can be inspired now and then push others to get healthy. You know, I was very saddened by it. I mean, I had no idea. There's a picture of him, and just huge. But if you're dealing with something like that, take it from me, and I've worked with lots of folks, you are not dealing with a death sentence.
Did it say if it was heart related?
It did not, at least not when I had. But I'm sure that it seems that it was. You can go to www.washingtonpost.com, as I will, to get more information. Just to satisfy my curiosity and to see. And again, I'm not making assumptions that there weren't or that they were. But he was. I do recall that the whole thing was done very, very lighthearted. That he was a spokesman for Heart Attack Grill, and it was okay for him to eat, so it's okay to you to eat. It's very, very sad that we would make light of such a situation. But anyway, okay, now on a totally different note, and it's 25 minutes past the hour, this show is going to be gone before we know it. We're throwing stuff at you so fast. I've got to bring you up. It's been a week or so. I think we told you that my student, my client, Michael Ellenby from Australia, was trekking up Mount Everest to base camp, and he kept us in touch by sending us pictures. Now I know that you guys listening to me can't, but check it out there, Magic Man. There he is, right at the base. Now here he's getting ready to start his climb. That's about 7,000 feet. You see that, Natasha?
Yes.
Okay.
I see.
For those of you watching, there it is to the camera. There's Michael, and there is Mount Everest in the background. Does that look cold to you?
I mean, that's base camp. There's so
No. That's not even base camp. That's about 2.5-3 miles below base camp.
There's a lot of mountains still ahead of
there. Base camp is about 18,500 feet. He's about 7,000 feet right there. I mean, you got to walk to base camp. That's like an 8-day trek to base camp. And that's all he was going to do, walk up to base camp and then come back down. But that's no joke. I mean, look at some of these pictures I'm here to show you. I mean, here's a picture on his second day. Look at this picture. I'll describe it for you. He's walking up a rocky cliff with about a 3-foot, would you estimate about a 3-foot pathway there, Magic Man?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you definitely don't want to slip off to the right there.
Oh, yeah. A straight sheer drop off. Yeah. And to his left, just a sheer wall of rock. Look at that. That's amazing. Imagine if something's coming down the other way like a yak or something like that. Where would you go? I know where I'd go. I'd call for the insurance man, like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. You know? with a helicopter, you know, with a parachute. Something like that. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. It is cold. Ooh, oh my God.
So they have to get acclimated or do any of the oxygen or not at that elevation yet?
Well, you know, I think they start off at 7,000 feet and they're kind of moving slowly to 18,000 and acclimating on their way. Now, once you get there, before you can actually start taking the trek or the climb to the summit, you have to stay there in base camp upwards of a month. Acclimating to 18,000.
Wow.
Yeah, a month, and then you got to go up a little bit for a day and then come back down to base camp, up a little further, back down, up a little more, back down. I mean, you know, to get
serious
you
commitment.
Oh, it's a 3-month thing from start to finish and about 60 grand. Wow, but you know what?
You have to pay for it?
What?
I didn't know. Well, first of all, you're risking your life, and you're going to pay big bucks.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think the zone above 26,000 feet is called the death zone. I mean, I am going to voluntarily walk into the death zone. Think not. Ow!
For 60 grand.
60 grand. But you know what, though? Look at these pictures when they finally got. Here's the last picture he sent out to me. Let me see where I did yesterday, day before. Because he's there now and on the way down. In fact, you can go online. Go to Facebook, and you can see pictures. He took one of his Newton Fitness wristbands that he had there at base camp, and 18,500 feet. And he's going to takes about 3 or 4 days to get back down again. So he's probably on the mountain right now on his way down. So it'll be about 2 weeks up to base camp and back down. So he had a blast, really good. Pictures of him and all the people there that he met along the trip and with Everest, the summit of Everest in the background with the wind whipping across the peak. And my goodness gracious, I don't think I'm going. Whew, I think I'll just live vicariously through Michael. Okay. All right, gang. 2 minutes before the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take advantage of that while the Magic Man fires up a little bit more Shaka Khan for us. I'm going to tell you, if you're here in Phoenix, I'm going to give a free shout-out to the Jazz Festival out at JW Marriott this coming up next month, about a month from now, in fact. This is March 10th and April 9th, which is a Saturday. The JW Marriott will be the site of a jazz festival featuring Richard Elliott, Norman Brown, Jonathan Butler, Eric Darius, and so many other smooth jazz stars, a huge group, Mindy Hebert, and of course one of our favorite groups, Turning Point, will also be there.
I'm there.
Yes, that'll be Saturday and Sunday. We'll be there Saturday. I know Natasha and I will be there on Saturday. And on Sunday you're going to see Jeff Golub, Gerald Albright, Kurt Whalum, Marianne Meadows, Paul Taylor, Warren Hill, and Jackie Joyner and Jeff Cashua all on Sunday. What a lineup and what a great venue. In fact, Dominic Amato will be there too. Also another local Phoenix guy, plays a lot with Turning Point, will be there on the venue for Sunday. Wow, what a lineup. Hope to see you guys out there. All three of us will be there for sure. A little bit more of Shaka Khan as we go to break, gang. It is now right at bottom hour. My name's Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The fabulous Natasha is in the house. And, of course, the magic man, Zach Geist, right here. You guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton and this is the Power Hour. We do it every Thursday at 5 o'clock right here, MacNewton.com. Do me a favor, gang. Tell all your friends about what we do here. If you like it, tell them about it. Maybe they will like it too. We're listening to our musical guest, her, Shaka Khan, who, you know, even though her popularity is not what it was back in the 70s and the 80s and mid-90s, she's still making really relevant music now. I think she's in a state of change. I believe she's going over to jazz, and we're all going to be the better for it. To continue a thought we had right before the break, just to give you a few details on this show, if you're here in the Valley, the show on April 9th out at Desert Ridge. It's a J.W. Marriott at Desert Ridge. And as Natasha said, the seats are very, very affordable. You got your reserve seats called the Golden Circle for $125. $125. Your regular reserve seats are $25. And the not-so-reserved reserves are $50. So very, very, well, you know what I mean. And then there's seating on the, it looks like there's patio seating, and it sounds like you can just come on out and have a good time, you know? Out at the JW Marriott at Desert Ridge on April 9th, the Jazz Festival, don't miss it. Some of our best local, not only local, but national smooth jazz talent that will be on display. All right, gang. Okay, here we are back in the house. Okay, wow. Gee whiz. Okay, let's see. Oh, as I said, I guess it's time right now for our main topic. I want to get that done. I want to do both of those. I want to do a little bit for JC and talking about making a quantum leap. I think I'll take that segment right out of my book. You know. I think I'll do both of them. I think I'll start with the prosperity segment first, since I said it was an early segment. All right, let me take you back in time a little bit, gang. I'm going to take you back in time. I have a very clear mental image of this. I was standing in the courtyard of the apartment complex where I'd rented a small one-bedroom apartment, not too far from here, as a matter of fact, in Phoenix. And I was getting my mail from the mailbox. And the complex manager, her name was... What was her name? I'll think of it in a moment.
Janie?
No. Okay. I'll get her name in just a minute. It goes back a long time. But anyway, the apartment manager just saw me, and she came rushing out, and she was carrying a small white envelope, which she gave to me. I opened it, and she stood there while I opened it, and I saw it was an eviction notice. You know what eviction notices are? They're little things that say, get out. I had 6 days to move out. 6 days. I looked at her. I thought, that's a little unfair, don't you think? And she looked at me. She says, we've sent you numerous notices, and you've not responded. I mean, really, it shouldn't have surprised me, because I remember receiving it. I just tore them up. I didn't even open them up. I just kind of ripped them apart. I guess if I didn't see it, it didn't happen. And by this time I was about 3 months behind in my rent. She apologized for me, and she just felt real bad. She apologized for bringing me such bad news. And I said, you know what? It really doesn't matter, because I had already made a decision to become rich. I remember saying it to her, you know, and she looked at me with that look that you reserve for people who are just not in touch with reality. She said, poor Mac. She didn't really say that. She just kind of looked at me and went, all right, Mac, okay.
Sure, good luck with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, no, really, really, I've made a decision to become rich. It's been my experience that many people believe that when it comes to money, you know, prosperity and the accumulation of wealth, that all the positive thinking, good attitudes, and hard work will never make one bit of difference in their ability to pay the bills at the end of the month. Well, the truth of the matter is, our conscious mind and our subconscious mind are always creating the realities in your life, including determining how much money you have in the bank. Your mind is the key determinant about who you are, how long you live, how successful you are, how much money you make, how much money you keep. Your prosperity or lack of it is always the result of your thinking. Your thinking will bring you to a point where you have financial success, or you will live a life where you will continue to struggle financially. Your beliefs are holding you right where you are right now, or your beliefs will propel you forward. It's all based on how you think. See, you're not what you think you are, but by how and what you think you are. You think poor, you get poor, you stay poor. You think rich, you get rich, you stay rich. If you don't believe me, ask Robert Kiyosaki. You ask Blair Singer, you ask Donald Trump, you ask people who know what money is, how to make it, and how to keep it. You know, gang, the difference between the words maintenance and sustain? Well, you may not think there's very much difference at all, but in my world, there is. I'll tell you what maintenance means to me. Maintenance is like having a maintenance man. When something goes wrong, you fix it. Well, to sustain something, you don't wait till something is broken or you don't have enough of it. You're constantly making it better. So when you're sustaining prosperity, you're not just keeping what you got, you're getting more. So a mindset about sustaining financial success is a mindset about building, investing, and keeping what you have, not just maintaining what you've got. You know what? I've learned in my years of research in this area that fully 80% of our population are totally preoccupied with money problems. No, not money accumulation, not money, not having money and sustaining your wealth accumulation. No, money problems. They think about, they worry about money issues from morning till night. This is not a happy, healthy, productive way to live. You know how I know that? You know how I know that? I know that because I've lived that. I know I've lived. I've walked into my business and looked at the light switch and wondered, when I flick it, are the lights going to come on? Another day. You know? another day where I picked up the phone. I picked up the phone and I'm wondering, am I going to get a dial tone? You know? Because I know the phone bill hadn't been paid, or had they gotten the bill before they shut it off. I've lived like that. You're not happy. You're not healthy. You're stressed out. Your hair is falling out. Your skin's breaking out. You can't sleep. You're a mess. There are some people that think, well, you know what? In fact, I can remember some people telling me, you know what? When you're a struggling poor Taekwondo instructor, you know, it's like telling people how committed you are and how serious you are, and you've got to be a better instructor. You know what all it tells people? All it tells people is you can't. It's like physician heal thyself. You can't do that. You can't use your own teaching to make your life better. All it makes you is a poor instructor. That's all. It makes you a struggling, poor instructor who is stressed out and is going to make some mistakes. Many problems in relationships are caused by money worries. People have been known to try to eliminate one of their partners so they can get an insurance policy. I'm serious. People do things, you know. People say, well, money is the root of all sin. You know, no, it's not. The lack of money. It's the money you don't have that's the root of all sin, you know, evil. That's right. It's not having it. As I said, many problems in relationship are caused by money worries. And one of the main causes for divorce is arguments over money and how it's spent, usually because people don't have enough money. You know, I call it financial freedom. You know what financial freedom is? Let me define it for you. Financial freedom is having enough money where you don't worry about money. It's never a defined amount of money. Financial freedom is having enough. Now, great grandma, bless her heart, she never earned over $5,000 in a year that I can recall. But you know what? She enjoyed financial freedom. Great-grandma enjoyed financial freedom. She never worried about money. She knew and taught me about saving. She taught me how to drop a dime. And I taught it to you, Magic Man. She taught me how to save. And I am a relentless saver to this day. You know that.
You're the saver.
I am a relentless saver. I don't believe in having debt. She taught me about that. And when she passed away, blessed her heart. You know, I wasn't involved, but there were many members of the family that were struggling to get the quite significant amount of money that she left and never earned over $5,000 and enjoyed total financial freedom. And I've known people in my life that earned well over $1 million or $2 million a year who didn't have financial freedom. So financial freedom is enough money to where you don't worry about money. You can take care of all of your basic needs and the things that you need in life. Enough money to where you don't have to worry about money. Does that make sense to you, Magic Man?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you owe it to yourself to develop your talents and abilities so that you have enough money that you don't have to worry about money. Whatever that amount is, it doesn't matter. And you never have to apologize for it. In fact, it says, it's biblical. God is saying he wants you to enjoy all of the fruits of your labor here on earth. Whatever you want, ask for it in my name, and it'll be yours if you're willing to earn it. Does it matter? You're not thought of because you want more. You want more joy? Ask for it. You want more more enjoyment out of life? You want more things? Fine. It doesn't define you as a person. It's when I bought my first Mercedes. I bought my first Mercedes in 1994. I'd saved up my money, and I went to Phoenix Motors, and I paid cash for it. And I wanted to make sure, I says, if anyone is going to judge me because of the car I drive, shame on them. To me, it was something I'd worked for that was a bookmark for my life, because it was just a mere 6 years before I was homeless and riding a bicycle. And in that 6 year period of time, I had changed my whole life by changing my thinking. I earned more in that 6 year period of time than I had in the previous 25 years by changing my thinking, by changing my relationship with money. I changed myself so that I could earn more money to get me the things I wanted. So, like me, you owe it to yourself to develop your talents and abilities so that you can earn enough money so you don't have to worry about money. I'm not making any judgments here. You know, money is neither good nor bad. It's just money. That's all it is. It's our attitudes towards money that determines how much of it we get and how much of it we keep and whether we use it well or not. Money is just money. It doesn't tell you you are good, bad, or indifferent. It's just money. It's by which we can trade. I will give you this amount of money if you will give me your services for 2 hours. I will give you this amount of money if you will give me that product. If you will give me that crop, I will give you X amount of money and you can spend it. That's all it is. And you can always tell how well or how successful someone is doing sometimes by how much money they make, how effective they are in selling their services or selling their products. And I also believe you can get anything you want in the world by helping as many other people get what they want. I make a living, a very good living, helping other people become successful. And the people that I help will go out of their way to reciprocate in kind. I got an email yesterday. I won't give the name here, even though she wrote me an unbelievable letter. Here, let me see, I'll pull it up for you. Here it is right here. Okay, she wrote me a letter and she says, "Dear Mac, this letter is written with much appreciation and love. Yesterday turned out to be a culmination of everything I have learned from you. Attitude, perseverance, endurance, and strength. It started with a typical tennis tournament at the Village. The first match, which I won, lasted over 3 hours. A typical match would last only about an hour and a half. So as you can see, this was a good match. Well, because I won, I had to move on to another match to determine the consolation winner. Because my first match lasted so long, I only had 15 minutes to rest. The second match turned out to be a spectacular game as well that went over 4 hours. So after over 7 straight hours of play, I kept thinking of everything you'd ever taught me. And even though I did not win the match, which took 3 sets with pretty much every game going deuce with tiebreakers, for each set, I still felt like a winner. And she says, thank you again for everything you've done for me. You've inspired me to push and strive for my goals and never give up. And so she says, even though I didn't win that set, I still felt like a winner. You know what? You know what these people do for me, even though they've paid for my services, they do everything they can to help me become successful. When you are developing your talents and abilities so that they're valuable to other people and then prosperity will come your way, you simply change your thinking. And I'm making sense here. Okay, it's making sense. Huh? It makes sense?
Absolutely, sir.
You develop your talents and abilities, and that's where prosperity is. But people look for shortcuts. You see, Steve, listen up. Steve, remember I told you? No shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And if you're looking to make a shortcut, if you're looking to make that cut short, you're going to change your goal. So people are looking to do things the easy way. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're going to look for a shortcut and you're going to end up in jail. Or worse, dead. That's what shortcuts take us to. It changes our goal. All right? So I'll say what I said before. I'm not making judgments. I'm just talking about money. That's all I'm doing. Money is neither good nor bad. You know what money is? It's just money. It's your attitude towards it that determines how much you get and how much you keep and whether you use it well or not. When it becomes your God, you can't use it well. When it becomes something that determines if you're a good person or not, you're not using it well. Decide right now how prosperous you want to be. Imagine that you had a magic wand and you could wave it to design your own financial life. What would you want your life to look like if you achieved all of your financial goals? What would you be doing more of? Key point, what would you be doing less of? How much would you be earning? What kind of lifestyle would you have? These are important questions, and the time is now to make a decision. So prosperity. is a state of mind. And like I said, I have a very clear mental image of that scenario as I stood in that courtyard. As I stood in that courtyard with that young lady, and she felt sorry for me. And I told her, don't worry. I've already made a decision to be rich. And I had. And she looked at me as she was feeling sorry for me. But see, I knew. See, I knew that I'd played that silly game long enough. And I was really now ready to work. I this was, you might say, my tipping point. I'd suffered enough. I'd watched enough people be successful. And I knew that time was running out on me. It's time to get there. It's time for us to stop making excuses. It's time for us to get busy with real life. It's time for us to put on our big boy pants and start thinking big boy thoughts. And start remembering that this is not a rehearsal. This is the real thing. And as I said, money is not a way by which you gauge what kind of person you are. But it allows you to take care of the things that you need to live in this world. And even the things that make living in this world more fun. Am I right, Natasha?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, more fun. More fun. So you say, Mac, that Mercedes you bought back in 1994, did it really get from one point to another any better than the car you got rid of to get rid of, which was a 1984 Chevy Blazer with 127,000 miles on it? It had four wheels and a steering wheel and an engine, and that 84 could get around. I remember driving it up to Flagstaff one day and looking in the rearview window and thinking, I hope that big 18-wheeler doesn't run over me, because that little six-cylinder engine was striving and puffing, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, so many times I get in and I turn the thing. Please start, please start, please start. Was it better? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That Mercedes, you can't even compare it. Oh, yeah. I have lived. I've never been poor, but I've been broke a lot. And I'll tell you the difference between those two. You know, I've told you before, Natasha, the difference between,
yes,
between poor and being broke. But those of you who are new to the Power Hour, I've never been poor, because poor is a state of mind. But I've been broke. I've had no money. So I've been broke. And I've been rich. And I'll tell you, rich is better. Rich is better because now I've got something to give away. I've got a surplus that I can give away. See, all I had to give away before was my own misery, my own stress. And if I was going to teach, people would say, well, you know what? If you really know so much about this stuff, how come you're living from hand to mouth? It's like going to work out with someone who's fat and overweight and out of shape. If you know so much about fitness, how come you aren't in shape? If you're such a good handyman, how come your house is falling apart? You know what I'm saying? So if anything else, I felt a responsibility that if I wanted to be successful as a teacher, if I wanted to set an example for my students to follow, even into Taekwondo, into this business. And now I've got several around the country who are doing this and are very financially successful doing it. But how, even though they might have loved what I'm doing and want to follow me, why would they want to follow me into a life of poverty? Like Abraham Lincoln said, the best thing you can do for the poor is not to be one of them. So it starts with changing your mind. And I realize that talking this way offends some people, that I'm putting too much emphasis on money. But now I'll follow up by saying this. Any problem you have that can be solved with money is not really a problem. You just need more money. And if the only thing you ever lose in life is money, you haven't lost a thing. Money is easily replaced. It's one of the easiest things to get I've ever seen in my life. Once your attitude about it is, you know, it's like, well, you know what? I want the business, but not too bad. I know exactly how to do it. People who know what money is and how to use it and how to get to keep it, People who don't lose it. They lose it. It's not there. It's just too important to them. So, that's my early segment, which I finished exactly at 5 minutes before the hour came. You guys can tell I don't take myself on this show too seriously. I do take the stuff I bring out very seriously. I bring it to you with all my heart because it's stuff that I didn't get this in a university setting because I didn't go there. I get it from the things I've lived, from the steps I've gone away, and I certainly appreciate if you have a difference of opinion or a suggestion for me, send it to me. I will most gladly listen to your perspective and share it. I don't think, as great grandma used to say with me, she'd say, hey boy, your mouth ain't no prayer book. Everything, just because you say it doesn't make it right. But you know what though? I've been in this business for a long time. And I've seen a lot of things come and go. And my opinion does count. That does yours. And I'm certainly willing to listen to it. Share it with me.
What's the email if you want to give out?
7@macnewton.com. SEVEN. Spell it out, @macnewton.com. And go to my website and make comments. Visit me on Facebook. Become one of my friends. If I accidentally defriend you, because I've been doing that. I've been defriending to get it down to, because I had too many. I had over 5,000. I didn't know any of these people. I want to get it down to people who interact with me and the people who want to receive my posts and my blogs every day. So if you want to receive it, just go on Facebook and send me. I go on maybe once a week, and I put on new friends. And I also go there and delete ones that I don't know or that haven't been communicating with me. So I want to get it down to a reasonable number. So I'm not, again, like money, I'm not using the number of friends I have to determine whether or not I am of value. So it doesn't matter. It's like great grandma proved it to me. It's not how much money you have. It's just, do you have enough money that you are financially free? You are free from financial worries. From some people, like great grandma, $5,000 a year was provided her with financial freedom. For some people, $5 million a year is not enough for financial freedom. So financial freedom is not an amount. Again, it is is what you need to be financially free in your life. Now, coming up next week, gang, we are definitely, we're going to put on our on the front burner how to make a quantum leap. And this show is going to go out for my partner, John Cannon. JC, we called him, because apparently this is a show that we did on Cox 9, but we're going to get an early start for him. I'm going to show you that everyone has at least one area in their lives of where a quantum leap is possible for them right now, where they can go from where they are to a point two or three steps ahead. And I'm going to show them step by step how that can be done very, very clearly. I'm going to show them in the three steps, and then I will give them eight ways in which to change their brain into a different way of thinking. So if your goals are financial in nature, or you want to simply change the way you make a living, or change the way you see yourself in the world, or just change habits about the things you do, change the way you interact with other people, this is the way we can get it done. I'm going to show you the thought process for making that happen. All right? Hey, it's been my pleasure, gang. More of Chaka Khan, one of my favorite songs that she's done, as along with Through the Fire. I remember once I was riding my bike on a long bike trip, and that song that she did, Through the Fire, I don't have it on this particular one, you may remember it, Through the Fire came on, and it was just, I just was able to, the song just spoke to me. It's not an up-tempo song, but just the words, Through the Fire. I was just going through a tough spot on that bike, and it just inspired me. I like her voice because she's able to sing like now, smooth, low, kind of like Sarah Vaughan. But then when she turns it loose, it's like yours, Natasha. It just comes out like a lion. It just roars. It's big, you know. It's huge. She's known for that. The solo artist Chaka Khan, born Yvette Marie Stevens. All right, gang, as we always do about this time, we're going to say adios, mi amigo, amigas. And I want to remind you to be good to yourself. Be good to yourself by letting your words and your actions match. By letting your thoughts and your behaviors become congruent. Be true to yourself. Be good to those close to you, the ones who rely on you, the ones who love you, the ones you care about. Save your best behavior for them. And as always, I want to throw a thanks out to my man Bob Adlock, who we just communicated with just the other day. Pat McMahon, JC, JB, still miss you. And of course, the fabulous Natasha and Zach, the Magic Man. Hope you guys have a good week. It is now exactly 6 o'clock straight up. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.
Taking his place.